Sharon Waltman asked me to give this presentation. I'm not actually an author on this paper, but she couldn't be here, so I agreed to give this presentation for her. What Sharon Waltman and her group have done, they have made a soil climate simulation model available to the community, and this is kind of a new interface for the Newhall simulation model, which is a traditional soil climate model that was widely used in the soil survey in the 1980s and 90s. And so this talk is about that. So one of the objectives for the soil climate models is to understand the soil climate and the ways in which climate might be changing or fluctuating from year to year, and also long-term trends. So this particular figure shows us annual precipitation for a weather station in northern Pennsylvania. And you can see that from year to year there are many fluctuations in precipitation, and there are also long-term trends. In the 120-year record, you have an increase in mean precipitation by maybe 5 or 6 inches. And so the soil climate is not a static thing. It's something that responds to the atmospheric climate, and it's constantly changing. And so having a model to kind of help predict what those changes are is useful. So the particular model that they have made available is the Newhall simulation model. And it's been updated to the Java computer language from the older language of BASIC. And this was done in 2010 under CESU grant. You can see it there, and for $20,000. So it was a small grant. And the leaders of this were Doug Miller and Brian Bills. So the goal was to improve access and usability of the Newhall simulation model to understand soil climate, soil moisture and temperature regimes determined from the long-term climate records. Objectives were to port the Newhall simulation model from BASIC to a modern language that's more compatible with operating systems, particularly Java, and to provide an intuitive graphical user interface for setting up model runs and visualizing the outputs. And then a little bit later, it became evident that enabling batch processing would be very useful for some researchers. So they allowed batch processing. So here's the basic version that Van Wembeke developed of the Newhall simulation model in the 1980s. We'll go over the content of the model in a minute, but everything is basically there, and it's the same model. The Java Newhall simulation model is the same model as this one, but the Java is a little bit easier to use. And here's how the Java model interface looks. And you enter the data into the available slots here, and then you run the model, and you get two kinds of output. This is the monthly soil temperature and moisture regime output, or we'll go over this in more detail in a minute, but this is one of the pages of output, and this is a climograph for the output. So here are the system components for how the model works. You have the input data that goes into the Newhall client. The Newhall client translates the input data. The client is an Adobe Air client, and it translates it into XML files, which are then read by the Java Newhall model, which outputs more XML files, which are read by the Newhall client, and they produce metadata, which is a cover page, a summary report, some data tables, and a climograph. So, and this can be run for any climate station or weather data that you may have. So the model run inputs include metadata, monthly precipitation values, monthly air temperature values, elevation, latitude, longitude, and some configurable parameters like the offset between the mean annual air temperature and the mean annual soil temperature, and a water holding capacity estimate you may have for a particular soil. So there are three types of Java Newhall simulation model jobs. One is the single station, single run job, where you may have a single climate station. You may have either a single year or a set of normal years averaged into one, which you can run and see what kind of moisture and temperature output you get. Or you can do multiple stations in a single run. This is in the batch version, where you can set up a spreadsheet to list any number of soil inputs, climate inputs, and you can have an unlimited number of stations for a batch run. And you can see that you can do a single run with a normal. Here you have average from 1971 to 2000. Or you can do individual years. Here you have 1895, 1896, et cetera, for a single climate station. So every year you would get a different predicted output for soil moisture and temperature. So the outputs are soil moisture regime classification, soil subgroup modifier, soil temperature regime classification, annual water balance, summer water balance, estimated potential evapotranspiration, soil moisture and temperature calendars, and soil moisture control state summaries. So these can be used taxonomically to classify your soil climate. Here's an example of the calendar output. You can see for each month is shown as a row of boxes, and you can see the number of days when the soil temperature meets certain taxonomic criteria, such as less than 5 degrees Celsius, 5 to 8, or greater than 8 degrees Celsius. And same with the soil moisture calendar. You can see for January, half the month was the moisture control section had moist, dry, and half was moist. And so you can tally up the numbers of days of moisture and dryness, as well as soil temperature, to get the output of the soil moisture and temperature regimes. And you can see here that for this particular site and this particular model run, the soil moisture regime was ustic, and the modifier was wet tempustic. Soil temperature was mesic. And this is another sheet of output. This is the so-called climagraph, where you're shown the precipitation in blue, and you're shown the evapotranspiration, or the potential evapotranspiration, using the Thornthwaite formula in pink. And so when the PET exceeds precipitation, then you have a moisture deficit. And that's partly what caused this one to come out into the ustic moisture regime. And then there's a summary that shows the station information and any metadata that you've entered into the model. The actual output model files are XML files, and they encapsulate all the information for a model run. And they can be easily shared and easily parsed with data mining tools. And Sharon and her group have made the Newhall simulation model available, or as I understand it, it will be available shortly after a peer review process. The model includes an installer, a user guide, a batch template, some example files, and a an XML to CSV converter. So you can take a number of XML files, convert them into CSV, and then use them. And they're up to version 1.5.0, and they're going to be submitting this to the public after peer review. The next phase, they hope to have a web browser application so that you don't need to install the software. You can just go to a website, enter your climate data or your batch files, and get the model output sent to you. They'd also like to have a central model run repository where model runs can be housed and queried. They'd like to have an easy way to allow these queries online and have exploration tools so that you could set up a set of queries that you'd like to run and find particular soils or moisture regimes. Here's a little graphic that kind of shows what that would look like. They've also made the model available to geographic users, and there's actually a talk today at 2 o'clock during which, or that will show an application of this model to the lower 48 states of the U.S. and the pixels of a climate simulation go into the model, and we can make a map of the moisture and temperature regimes in this way. So this was Sharon's talk. I'm not an author, but I'd be willing to have any discussion or questions.
This is the last presentation, so I think we can open up the floor for not just this presentation, but for any other presentations, assuming that oh, I see the crowd thinned down pretty good.
John?
Can you remind me what the inputs of the model?
Sure. Yeah, the inputs are fairly basic. That's one of the nice things about the Newhall simulation model, and probably a limitation as well, but it was designed to allow for taxonomic classification using very limited data. So precipitation values for every month, monthly air temperature values, latitude, longitude, elevation, an offset between mean annual air temperature and mean annual soil temperature can be added, and water holding capacity of the soil. And then what the model does is it runs Thorne-Thwaite's equation for evapotranspiration to estimate the potential evapotranspiration, and then it iteratively runs through the days of a month, and it attributes rain or precipitation values and evapotranspiration values based on these monthly values to kind of give a sense of how wet or dry the soil moisture control section is. So
if a user in, say, southern Asia wanted to use this, are these data available through some remote sensing data sets, however coarse those might be?
There are global climate data sets that can be used for sure, yeah. So this can be applied globally, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is one website, worldclimate.org, right?
Yeah, there are a couple of raster products that cover the whole world, and yes. One is WorldClimb. Yeah. Philip?
What's the assumptions in this model?
Well, the assumptions are that the soil is... The model cannot account for restrictions in soil drainage, number one. So your soil has to be well-drained in order for the model to accurately predict the soil moisture regime. And so this is problematic when you have drainage restriction. The model cannot predict the aquic moisture regime. That's one of the drawbacks. It also assumes that precipitation in excess of evapotranspiration is removed by runoff or by drainage. So there's not a lot of storage, and the model also can't deal with snowpack and snowmelt dynamics.